This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, Progressive Insurance makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So now joining us on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. Sam, welcome. You're on with David and Carla.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, we are doing great, and we are sitting here in Houston, Texas, wondering if Chris Paul and James Harden like playing together. What do you think?
That seems to be one of the unsung stories of the offseason with all the free agency. You know, I think that they've had issues. Now, is it any more issues than anybody else has on other teams? You know, there's always going to be something that is bugging guys. But with them being the two premier players on the team, obviously you have to wonder. They're obviously downplaying it. Chris Paul's really downplaying it. But as you guys know, you know, we've heard this before about Chris Paul. We've heard, you know, I saw Kenyon Martin say he thought Chris was a terrible teammate. Great basketball player, but terrible teammate. So, you know, he has that reputation. So it's really hard to tell. I think that, remember the beginning of the year, Rondo had an issue with him. And there are a lot of guys around the league who have an issue with Chris Paul. Fair or not, it's pretty clear that that's the case.
So do you think here, we're still keeping with the Rockets, they've got basically with cap room is a $5.7 million mid-level exception. So what do they need to do? And do you think adding Jimmy Butler is something that they could consider to give them a run for the West?
Well, you know, Jimmy seems like, would he be a fit there? I think they're going to have a run at the West anyway now.
Thanks
really
to Golden State's injuries, yeah.
Golden State's injuries, Golden State's probably going to lose some of those guys in free agency. They're not going to lose Klay Thompson, but I think they stand a real good chance to lose Durant, and they know that, and they're talking about, you know, should we do a sign-and-trade with Durant? Would he agree to that? I think that they're really pretty concerned that Kevin Durant's not coming back there, and I don't think they'll be the same. So the window in the West is wide open. You know, we don't know how good the Lakers are going to be or if they're going to mesh or, you know, stay healthy or all that stuff. So I think that the West is wide open. We really got to consider the Rockets as they are probably have a pretty good shot and as good of a shot as anybody. But to answer your question, yeah, you know, I just – personally, as an observer, I don't know how well Jimmy Butler would fit there. Now, maybe he'd fit great, you know, with Chris and James Harden. But man, you've got to be a guy who's willing to take a back seat because we all know James can score at will, you know. And if you're on the team with Harden, you've got to be able to concede this is the man. You know, and, you know, I don't know if Jimmy Butler has struggled with that a little bit wherever he's been. But I don't know. It sounds like they're certainly going to try to make a run at him. You know, we know that much. So I don't know if they're going to have to obviously make a trade and clear some cap space for that to be realistic. But I think it's a long shot. I think most people around the league and probably even Daryl Morey thinks it's a long shot. So it could happen, but I think that they'd probably be better off finding some other pieces around those guys if they're able to do that.
Sam, you mentioned KD and the situation with the Warriors and the Warriors bracing for basically probably him not coming back, which he's kind of been, it's been talked about most of the year. Today it's come out that I see that KD is ticked off at Golden State, and it's, you know, all obviously has to do with the Achilles injury. And What I want to find out from you, Sam, is this a game of find the villain, the blame game? Because you look at, he got obviously the opinion of the Warriors doctors who said, can't injure it further. We think you can go. His own camp, you've got Rich Kleiman and company They gave their opinion on whether he should go or not. Then he went to doctors. He got another opinion from doctors in New York. I think the same doctors that operated on his Jones fracture. So this was a collective decision. Why does it seem like he needs to go public and blame it on the Warriors? Is that where the blame should go?
Well, I think that you would rather, you know, somebody's going to take the blame. And I think that, you know, as opposed to somebody who would say, you know, we're all to blame in this, or really no one's to blame. It was just a case of a guy wanting to play and test it out.
Right.
I think there's an opportunity there to kind of pass the blame. And I think not just Kevin Durant, but we as people tend to pass the blame a lot. And that may be what the case is here. But, you know, I mean, the thing about that whole injury to me was I don't know. You know, I'm not a doctor, but we heard every player who saw that happen on Twitter and on the air. Everybody said that is an Achilles injury. That's how you react. You look back in game five against the Rockets.
Yeah, the first injury.
Back,
yeah.
Right, the first time. And everybody said that is an Achilles injury. We recognize that. It happens across the NBA all the time. That's what it is. I'm pretty sure it was, you know, somebody with a former player with an Achilles injury tweeted that out and said, man, I've seen that before. That's exactly how I reacted, blah, blah, blah. Well, then the next, within an hour, we hear the Warriors or 2 hours or whatever, you know, it seems like it's not an Achilles. And now it's, you know, and I'm like, how do you determine that within a couple hours, even an hour? It's like they wanted to control the panic around the team. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's a calf strain. And, you know, and this could all be true. This, maybe that's what it was. And he came back and pushed it, and then they fully fine. But I just thought, from everything I heard from the players themselves who recognized that type of thing, we're saying it was an Achilles. So, to me, it was a very bizarre situation because, and you know what? Charles Barkley said it right off the bat. The Warriors are lying. Kevin Durant will not be back, and he shouldn't be back because that's an Achilles injury. He said it right away. And he kept saying it over and over. The Warriors keep saying he's coming back. He's coming back. They're lying. But then he comes back, and then, you know, sure enough, it goes within, what, 5 minutes? So,
yeah, 11 minutes.
Yeah, right. It's very interesting. I really think his run there is over. Whether he signs there for a year and picks up his option and does this again next summer, or if he does it again, you know, I mean, if he signs again and then leaves in unrestricted free agency next year when he finally gets healthy, or if he gets traded, if he does a sign and trade, I think Kevin Durant and the Warriors are ready to part ways.
We are talking to Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. So let me shift gears over to the Celtics. They're obviously in a different position today than they thought they would be, well, back a month ago. Where do they go from here?
Well, you know, I think that they're open. You know, they're open to Kyrie coming back. I don't know if he's open to it. I think he would be open to it if they said, and this may be a possibility, you know, it's a long shot, but, you know, hey, we will trade for Durant. I think that they would be a player in a sign-and-trade scenario if Durant does that. If not, I think Danny Ainge is going to try to keep that team together that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, if not last year, 2 years ago, without Kyrie Irving.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Terry Rozier, you're our guy. We got Jaylen Brown. We got Jason Tatum. You know, now we have Al Horford. Well, certainly would be a loss, and it sounds like he's going to be a loss in free agency. While that certainly, Al is replaceable in that situation. You know, you can find that guy. It's not like he's LeBron or, you know, I mean, he's a nice player. He's a good player, but you can find another Al Horford. But I think that that's what they're looking at. Like, you know what? Let's make the most of what we have. This team went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, and we took that Cavs team to 7 games. Let's build off that camaraderie that we had 2 years ago without Kyrie. I think there's a shot that Kyrie could go back. I think that they could be a player in Durant. But if not, I think that they're thinking, we'll be all right.
We're talking to Sam Amico of AmicoHoops.com. Okay, earlier we talked about the Pelicans and how they dealt with that tough situation with AD forcing the trade. How do you like their future today?
I'm sorry, how do I like what now?
What do you think of the Pelicans' future today?
Oh, yeah, no, I the future's obviously bright. You know, we haven't seen Zion play, obviously, or some of the other young guys, but I think that, you know, most people would tell you this guy's got he's going to be an all-star. If he stays healthy, he's got the skills, he's got the size, he's got all the tools, and he's a guy you build around. I think David Griffin is going to build an excellent culture there, and that's really what it's about. You know, he had a really good culture going in Cleveland even before LeBron came back. That's why they made David Griffin a GM. If you remember, in 2014, Chris Grant got fired, and David Griffin came in the press conference. He said, I want to start having fun. These guys aren't having any fun. Let's start there. And they did. And they started playing better. They started playing free and easy. And he would go in the locker room, make sure everybody's okay. And I think that's going to be a very good situation and a winning situation moving forward, because they just have the pieces, the young pieces. Then you think about all the draft picks they got out of that still moving forward. I think the Pelicans are going to be a team that a lot of people are going to enjoy and could be very good, you know, very quickly because of Williamson, particularly if he stays healthy.
Okay, Sam, our listeners want to know who's winning the MVP tonight.
The MVP, that's a great question. I've been kind of going back and forth on it most of the year. I probably would pick Harden, but I think Giannis is going to win it. Milwaukee, best player on the best team, best regular season team, and it's a regular season award. But what a great run he had and the Bucks had, and really something to build on moving forward. So I think Giannis is going to get it. I think Harden was probably the most unstoppable, but I think Giannis is going to get it just because 60 wins, when they win 60, 62 games, somewhere in there. And then Giannis was the best player on that team, biggest difference maker. Probably this is his time.
All right, we'll know soon.
We'll know soon. Sam Amico, thanks so much for joining us on SBS Radio. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.